you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Hi, I'm Victoria Alejandro, producer on the LAist studio show How to LA. For the past few weeks, I've been working on a series that's a love letter to vintage and independent cinemas here in Los Angeles. I've been exploring how these movie theaters are staying afloat, their histories, and what they mean to their neighborhoods and communities. Here's episode 6, where we take you to the two theaters at the Academy Museum on Miracle Mile. Let's go to the movies.
Hello, LA. We're taking you back to the movies. From LA Studios, this is How to LA, the show that helps you discover the city. Today, we're back with another episode of Revival House, our love letter to movie theaters around LA. This episode's gonna feel a little different. We've mostly been looking at theaters that are about 100 years old, but today, we're looking at a pair of theaters that opened in 2021. That's significant because, you know, the pandemic. The Ted Mann and the David Geffen Theaters at the Academy Museum of Motion Pictures in Miracle Mile, named after the two entertainment moguls and major donors, are a cool example of new repertory theaters. Those are the independent theaters we've been talking about in this series. You can't catch a new movie there, but they always have a big range of classics. And the revival programming at the Academy Museum Theaters have a way bigger scope than you might assume. While they definitely highlight Academy Award nominees and winners, that's not the only thing they show. And tickets are always $10. To learn more about these new theaters and their place in the LA moving going world, keep listening. Producer Victoria Alejandro is going to take you from here.
The David Geffen Theater at the Academy Museum is a red velvet marvel of a space. The walls, the ceiling, the seats envelop you in a red carpet, red dome. While it doesn't have the classic-themed 100-year-old architecture of a place like the Egyptian or the Chinese, it's a modern movie palace.
I think what's the most exciting thing to think about is what this theater will feel like in 20 years, not what it will look like, right? Because there'll be wear and tear, it happens, but what this theater will feel like because of the people who have come through it.
Despite some ups and downs on the path to opening, we don't have decades of history to cover in this episode, so this one's just me and Academy Museum Director of Programming, KJ Ralph Miller, talking these two theaters, community access to film, and the future of repertory screenings. Oh, but listeners, you may be asking, without a slow period in the 70s, how will this episode also somehow have a pornography tangent? Don't worry, folks, we get there in this one too. We'll be right back after this.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
If you're driving on Fairfax or Wilshire by LACMA or the La Brea Tar Pits, there is no way to miss the David Geffen Theater. The suspended spherical structure looks more like the Death Star than a 952-seat movie theater.
What's also special, and I don't know if this will get picked up on the microphone or not, is the acoustics of this space. There is barely an echo within this space. The sound absorption is really kind of complete, and I don't think there's a bad seat in the house.
This is Academy Museum Director of Programming KJ Ralph Miller. We sat in the front orchestra section of the empty theater to talk about what it's been like to welcome audiences to such a new space.
I think when we look at the demographics of folks who are coming to our theater, we're seeing that over 50% are under the age of 40. And whether that means the folks who are bringing their kids to our family matinees every Saturday morning, or college students who are bringing a group of friends to see a film that they maybe grew up watching on DVD or Blu-ray but have never seen in a theater, we are seeing that the majority of our audience is skewing younger. And that's actually a different demographic than what we were seeing citywide in the repertory scene before the pandemic. So we have no benchmark for what this theater may have looked like or may have felt like before the pandemic, because we opened in 2021, right? So we have had to build an audience from a post-pandemic reality.
And the museum and theaters weren't supposed to open in 2021. Architectural plans were first presented in 2008, right before, you guessed it, the stock market crash. The initial land purchased for the museum site was sold and plans were put on hold. In 2012, new plans were presented for a new location on Wilshire Boulevard. The estimated opening date was 2017, but amidst fundraising slowdowns, budget increases, and leadership changes, opening was pushed to December 2020, which was announced in February of that year, before COVID shutdowns began. But the opening was eventually pushed to September 2021, and here we are. I've now been to several screenings in the David Geffen, and I'm always astounded that whether it's a film like 2000's franchise hit Too Fast, Too Furious, or the black-and-white 60s propaganda film Soy Cuba, I've seen families, older folks, 10-year-olds, groups of teens, and swaths of 20 and 30-somethings here.
And I think that there are a lot of youth who came out of the pandemic really craving a communal experience, really found their cinephilia during the pandemic, and are looking for a community to connect to outside of Letterboxd, right, and offline in the real world.
Letterboxd has come up a few times now in this podcast. That's a social media app for logging and reviewing films. You can follow your friends, you can follow writers and critics you like, you can post your own thoughts about a movie. It's pretty huge. I only just got into it this year, and yeah, I'm hooked. I love seeing what my friends are watching. And if you're wondering if the Academy Museum only shows films from Oscar nominees, KJ says,
when I think about the way that our programming fits into the cultural landscape of Los Angeles, of course, we are always going to be offering a view to our history as an institution. And we look back on our own history and find ways to pull out trends or highlight a specific movement or figure within the history of the Academy and the Academy Awards. But we also are really trying to counter that by looking at trends and movements that maybe have not been honored at the ceremony, right? The ceremony is one marker of cultural excellence, but we're really interested in moving beyond that.
Sometimes those screenings tie into exhibits on display in the museum, like the John Waters screening series and a spring midnight movie retrospective. But there's also a space that's perfect for getting experimental.
I was really excited about the opportunity to join the museum and experiment with two cinemas. So we don't just have this amazing 952-seat David Geffen Theater. We also have our Ted Mann Theater, which is in the basement of the museum. Saying that the cinema is in the basement is not doing it justice. It's a 277-seat cinema. In the way that walking into the Geffen is an overwhelmingly red experience, walking into the Ted Mann Theater is almost like a Kermit Green experience. When the experimental filmmaker Mike Kuchar came into the space, he walked in and said, "I'm going to get lost in the cinema forest," because it really is this kind of soothing, calm green.
Having a smaller space for experimental screenings doesn't mean that the red dome of the David Geffen never gets weird. The Branch Selects program is a series of screenings chosen in partnership with each of the 18 branches of the Academy, each of those representing a different craft or discipline in filmmaking.
On Wednesday, March 20th, we are launching our spring season of Branch Selects with a screening of Showgirls on 35mm that was selected by the marketing and PR branch of the Academy. And that's because this film has a very interesting history when it comes to its marketing and its PR.
There's a spot open in the chorus line. We're auditioning tomorrow morning. I think you should try out.
I got it.
As we may remember, it was rated NC-17 and kind of a controversial film when it first came out.
From the creators of Basic Instinct, the last time they took you to the edge.
this time, they're taking you all the way.
We take the cash, we cash the check, we show them what they want to see.
And the studio had to contend with accusations of, when it created the website to support the film, of hosting a site that was featuring pornography. So someone from the marketing and PR branch will be here to talk about that very specific history of the film with relationship to the branch.
See, is it even an episode of Revival House if we're not talking about controversy over adult content in movies? And regardless of the screening program, every screening in an Academy Museum theater is a $10 ticket.
It's really important to us that our screenings, regardless of who is on this stage, are accessible to everyone. For example, with our Song Kang-ho series, where we had the amazing Korean actor Song Kang-ho here for a full 4 nights of programs in this cinema. We opened with Parasite, of course. We worked with community partners to help promote those screenings. And some of those folks who are members of those community organizations were able to come to those screenings for a discounted fee. So you're not, at least in the near future, going to see a moment where we have a big star on stage, which means that we inflate the ticket prices.
And she's talking about on stage, not on screen. At the Academy Museum Theater, filmmakers, actors, writers, and film scholars are often part of the screenings. Directors like Penelope Spheris and Gus Van Sant have presented screenings and been a part of conversations here.
It was very special to have Christopher Nolan here at the end of 2023 to present a screening of Shane, which heavily influenced his experience and his approach to the Batman legacy and his structure of the Batman films. So to have him backstage and have our calendar in front of him and hear him say that he was really thrilled to see that we were showing so much 35mm, that meant the world to know that he was seeing that and recognizing that, because whenever we can, we try to show film on the format that it was originally shot on. I've also seen films like Twister on 35mm projected in this space. That sound design is like reverberating in your body.
The success of that Twister screening, which I attended, and holy shit, it truly felt like a tornado was about to whip through the theater, is something KJ attributes to not just the sound system, but also shifting age demos around repertory screenings.
I mean, it's been interesting to see, especially since the pandemic, that 90s films are now repertory. When I was first starting, like less than a decade ago, I felt like it was hard to get folks out for a film from the 90s because the films still felt fresh to the majority of the people who were going out to see repertory screenings, right? Like they grew up with these films on VHS or they grew up with them on DVD. But now we have a generation of, you know, Gen Z who did not grow up with these films and they did not have a chance to see something like Twister in the theater. And so they're going to show up and see it sometimes on 35mm and sometimes in their first ever opportunity to have a communal experience with it.
As someone who was born right after Twister hit theaters, I would have to agree. Repertory screenings position contemporary films as rich texts in a way that generally feels saved for the, quote, old classics, and that can help you see a familiar film with new eyes.
We screened Nope on 70mm in 2023, and so this was just, I believe, a year and a half after it had been released, which technically makes it an old film at that point, right? Like, it makes it a repertory film, and so to have folks on stage, and we called some scholars and thinkers on stage to talk about different aspects of the film, it really did feel like, oh, this is opening up a whole new opportunity for building a series around the ideas that are featured in Nope with this text that's less than 2 years old.
In reporting out this series, every cinema operator or programmer I've spoken with has talked about movie theaters as a source of memory. Some of my favorite memories don't even involve a good film. They're about the experience. I once fell asleep on a date in the Highland Theater during a 10 p.m. screening of a movie I didn't particularly like, and it's oddly become one of my fondest memories of a movie theater. And maybe the same will be true of the David Geffen and Ted Mann theaters.
So I think that a space can hold memory, right? Even though I do think images are our strongest forms of memory, a space can hold memory, and we can feel that, right? In the same way that when we are screening a film, we're watching, we're like activating ghosts, right? We're watching people come to life. We're bringing Katharine Hepburn back to life when we show something like Christopher Strong, which we're screening in a couple of weeks. And when we screen Spellbound, we're bringing Gregory Peck back to life, right? Before our very eyes. And while we may not know exactly who sat in these seats before us, we can feel a sense of history the older a place becomes. And so I think that these seats do hold memory as well. And over time, this space will feel different because different memories will have been created here and different types of people will have passed through it. And I think what's the most exciting thing to think about is what this theater will feel like in 20 years. Not what it will look like, right? Because there'll be wear and tear, it happens. But what this theater will feel like because of the people who have come through it.
Thanks for listening. That's it for this episode. I hope this demystified some new LA theaters for you. Maybe I'll catch you with the David Geffen for the 4K restoration of Amadeus in the spring. I'll see you next time.
Alrighty, y'all, that is it for How to LA today. Thanks to Director of Programming KJ Ralph Miller. If you're interested in hearing more about the Academy Museum, we'll link our LA studio show, the Academy Museum Podcast, in the show notes for y'all. Victoria's a co-producer on that one too. We'll catch you later this week with another episode of our Loneliness series. This time we get active. Hasta luego. This episode was produced by Victoria Alejandro. The rest of the How to LA team is Monica Bushman, Ellen Jacoby, Megan Botel, and Erica Washington. Engineering support on this series is provided by Hasmik Pagosian. Our executive producer is Megan Larson, and I'm your host, Brian De Los Santos. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes LA a better place to live.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.